what the Holy Spirit does with us in our lives. He comes alongside, and boy, do I need Him.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
And more and more, right? By the way, Dr. Brown was due to come down next month. We don't think he's going to be able to come because of the virus going around. It's a sad situation. It's exploding in this area. Be careful. Be very careful. It is a nasty bug, no matter what you hear. Oh, the young people are all right. You know, they just don't get sick very much, yet young people are dying, no matter what they tell you. So we still need to be careful. I do agree the mask does not help much. It comes in through your eyes, gets on your hands, your hand goes up to your face, and away you go. We don't even bring the mail, the snail mail, not email, but snail mail, into our home. We let it sit out in the garage for a few days. You need to think about that too. You don't know where that mail's been or who's touched it and how long ago it was. And those viruses cling to those surfaces. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on those things. I do want to thank, Ben went out, I guess, with the young people. But Ben, Nicole's boyfriend, is here this morning. Y'all be sure and greet him. And as you heard, Brother Sammy has COVID-19, and Jack and Gay are out also, so be sure and remember them. I've been wondering why the Lord was leading me in the direction I've taken in Sunday school concerning last week, particularly in the definitions. And I know now why, because when we get back to Galatians 5 and the sins of the flesh, this background material that we've gone through last week and we're going to go through this week will help us at understanding better the sins of the flesh. I didn't understand that, why the Lord was leading me in this direction. And again this morning, He has led me in this direction in preparation for that discussion in detail. On the board behind me, or in the PowerPoint, you see a picture that I took in 2005 in Chile when Pat and I were there on a missions trip. I may have shown it to the church in the past, but if you've forgotten, there's a shepherd behind the sheep. And I noticed as he went along with the sheep, he just whistled if one of them got out of order, and they'd come right back together. I wish when the Lord whistles to us, we'd just get back in order, don't you? But sometimes we're so stubborn and resistant that we don't. Even to the point that we think we can read the new versions and it's no problem. And does God say anything about that? He certainly does. Did you know that? It's just like cohabitation. Did He say anything about that? I proved that to you a few weeks ago. He certainly does. He says things that we sometimes don't recognize. So I want to show you this morning that God does say something about reading corrupted, adulterated Bibles.
Amen.
Okay? So let's take a look. And there's the question again. Should you read new versions of the Bible? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, here it is. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. You may want to underline a word there. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, it's right after Hebrews and right before 1 John. So find that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. James, of course, Hebrews, James, and Peter. Okay, if you're there, you need to underline sincere. Sincere. And then if you have room, you may want to write this word out to the side. Unadulterated. That means not contaminated. Not fake. not deceiving. And I brought this in. I almost forgot it. Brother Green pointed it out. This is a bowl I turned from a piece of oak years ago. And when you turn a big bowl like this, you set it aside because it's green, and when it dries, it warps. Well, sure enough, it warped and it cracked. And you can see one lip is higher than another. Now, sincere, in the old way of looking at sincere, sin is without and sere is wax. What they used to do with pottery and things like this, and I'm probably going to do that with this if I ever find time, is fill it with epoxy, sand it down really good, and then maybe it'll be worthwhile putting it somewhere. You see, putting some fruit in it or some junk in it. But it's cracked on the inside quite a bit. So sincere means without wax, literally. Now, you go to some of the new versions of, or the new dictionaries, and they'll tell you that's just an old wives' tale. It is not. Again, it's part of the trying to destroy what we teach in churches all these years. Invariably, the new versions try to change things that we've taught. But it's similar to this. David loves tea. David, if I put arsenic in there, it'd be adulterated. You wouldn't want it, would you? And I know David's been a tea drinker for years. I don't know whether that's sweetened or not, but I think it has got a little lemon in it, David. Or let's think of anything you might put in it that you couldn't see. Even Clorox, you see. It would be adulterated. What we're interested in the Scripture, is Scripture that is unadulterated. It hasn't been corrupted. It hasn't been added to or subtracted from. David, you can have this, brother. All right. It is unadulterated. Okay, no needle has gone in it. We haven't put any arsenic in there. And he loves that. So, let's look at the verse now very carefully and see what it says. See if you should read the corrupted versions today. And the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's wickedness, and all guile, that's deceit, by the way, if you don't know that. And boy, is the world full of guile today. It's full of deceit, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and we are going to deal with that more soon, Lord willing. Hypocrisies, you know what that means, and envies, that is also in Galatians 5 when it talks about the sins of the flesh. Sins of the flesh is envy. That's jealousy with a twist. And what I mean by that? It's jealousy with I'm going to get even with him. That's what the underlying word really means. Jealousy with a twist. Ill will. And all evil speaking. That's backbiting. Boys are backbiting today. From the top of our government all the way down. Just backbite, back. That's all they do all day long, all night long. Backbite, backbite, just creating a horrible atmosphere. As newborn babes desire the what? Sincere milk of the Word. That's unadulterated milk of the Word. What does that mean? Not corrupted. So what should we desire? What should you be reading? A corrupted, incomplete Bible? No. Peter is saying here, from the Holy Spirit, without wax. See, unadulterated milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Milk is mentioned, I think, four or five times in the New Testament. And it's all related to, like Charlie over here, needing milk to grow by. But as we get older, we don't need milk. We need strong meat, strong food. So that's why I bring up some of these things and go a little deeper. Okay? Sincere. Unadulterated. Don't read the corrupted versions. The only one that is word for word translated is the King James Bible. Some of them come close, but they don't measure up because invariably they use a corrupted textual manuscript behind them and wind up giving man's opinion. Even the word order is important. That's why we say word for word. It's very important. Okay, you got that? That's sincere. Eidolos from A, meaning negative, undeceitful, figurative, unadulterated, sincere, untouched, unmodified. Catch that? See, the manuscripts behind these new versions have all been modified. All right. That's so important because throughout the scriptures, you look and think of the polysemia of words. You know what polysemia is? Multiple meanings of the words in scripture. You begin to understand that the Bible speaks incredibly over and over and over again, almost in every chapter, concerning the words of God, concerning Jesus Christ. If you begin to dig into the depth of it. Okay. I just wanted to show you this. See that down there? That was behind our garden side out at our house. Can't see it very well. Let's see. Maybe you can see it. No, not there. Right here. I have never seen a bear with three cubs. I just happened to be in my workshop getting ready to go out and do some mowing and weed eating and looked out the door and there a little cub came across our driveway. I just happened to have my phone in my pocket because our grandkids were coming over and they were going to tell me when they were coming. So I ran outside with turning tools, like I turned that thing with, in my hand because they wanted to borrow some turning tools. They're starting to turn on the lathe too, Brother Green. So I had that and I had the phone in here and I saw this, which is cute as that could be. And the reason I bring that up, those cubs need the mother's milk. If you ever watch some of the Geographic videos, you see the mama bear laying on its back and the little cubs taking the milk. They need milk. We all need milk. The sincere milk, the unadulterated, corrupted words of God. We need them. They're precious. They're spiritual. Okay, let me go on. Now, somebody told me last week, someone handed me a note last week. Pastor Corbett said, mercy and grace for God's watchdogs. I thought that was excellent. And I just happened to see this picture. We're all babies, really, in the Word of God. At least I am. I know so little about the words of God. The more I read it, the more dumb I realize I am and have been and will be. I like the watchdog here, don't you? And look what they're watching over. Okay? So I love that, and I love that statement. Thank you, Fannie Mae. That was great. Do you believe this recent report from the Dead Sea Scroll Scholars? It involves wisdom and discernment. My question to you really today, well, let me back up and tell you, what is a teacher's job? What's the difference between a teacher and a preacher? Ah, I got you, don't I? A teacher defines words over and over and over again because it's important to understand definitions, to understand again the scriptures. So, here's a statement, and it involves wisdom. I ask you this morning, what is wisdom? Can you? I told Pat before I came in today, that I might take some sheets of paper and pass them around and have you list 8 words and define them for me. Why? How often does wisdom occur in the Bible? Almost, just short of 250 times. So God must think it's pretty important. You know, a word like propitiation, I suspect most of you know the definition to that. But if you don't, you should. If you've been sitting here in this church all these years, you know, the best way to define propitiation is satisfaction. because the word underneath is hilasteron, which means the mercy seat of God, which expiates our sin. So the cross is a hilasteron, and it expiates, removes sin if you believe in what Jesus Christ did and who Christ was. Propitiation means satisfaction. God was satisfied with Christ. What does wisdom mean? 250 times. What does discernment mean? They're related, very related.
Knowing what to do with knowledge.
It is. It's the right use of knowledge is wisdom. But in the Proverbs, turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Everybody knows where Proverbs is. Okay, you there? Verse 1, the Proverbs. What are Proverbs? We hear it all the time. We turn to the book of Proverbs. So what is a proverb? It's a comparison. It's a wise saying. And in verse 6, it says, and understand, there's understand again. A proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Oh, when we hear dark as a Christian, we immediately think sin. They're sinful sayings? And that's not what it's saying here at all. It's saying a riddle, a difficult to understand saying. Now let's go back to verse 1 again. So a proverb, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. What knowledge? World's knowledge? Scripture over and over makes it clear it's God's wisdom. Matter of fact, who's called wisdom in the Bible? Jesus, 1 Corinthians. Yeah. Keep your finger at Proverbs. I'll prove it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. See if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So again, wisdom is a polysemic word. It means Jesus Christ and the right use of knowledge from the Scripture, right? So in 1 Corinthians, let me find it just a minute. Chapter 1, verse 18. Let's look at verse 18. You've heard this quoted often by evangelists. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, who is the power of God? Look at verse 24. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. So Christ is the power of God, and what else? The wisdom of God. So there it proves right there that Jesus Christ is wisdom himself. And you look at chapter 2, in verse 5, chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 5. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which is the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's the way I want you to think when you read the Scriptures, you see. So if you go back to Proverbs now, go back to Proverbs, chapter 1. What is instruction? Does that mean classroom instruction? What would you think? No, it doesn't. Instruction, well, let's go there. Turn to Deuteronomy. See, this is what enters my mind when I think of these things. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe. It's either 4 or 6. And I believe it's 6. And let's look at the Shema, or Shema, of God to the nation Israel in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4. Hear, Shema, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. You know what heart is now. We went through that time and time again in class, the divisions that God made of us, and with thy soul and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here it is, instruction. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's instruction according to the Scripture. All the time, thinking on it, studying, looking up words, looking up definitions about what God is trying to tell us. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 1. So in that very first, second verse there, you see wisdom, you see instruction, and what God means by instruction. To perceive, to understand, in other words, the words of understanding. What does understanding mean?
What you read.
Connecting the facts. Connecting the dots. The way I think of it is that throughout Scripture you have knowledge, facts. One after another. Understanding is being able to connect those. Wisdom, after you connect them, is being able to apply that knowledge righteously according to what God wants in your life, not according to what the world wants. So, coming back to this, her report says, the findings support, this is from the Dead Sea Scholars. Okay, and again, it involves wisdom and understanding. What happens today with our kids and with many churches is the world comes out with something, they believe it. Oh, is that right? Well, look what the scholars said from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And if you were here when Dr. Brown was here and I gave the message to the Dean Bergen Society and received that reward, you remember, Defender of the Scripture? That's what all this was about. What they're trying to do, if you remember, is they're trying to now destroy the Old Testament the way they've destroyed the, are trying to destroy the New Testament. God said He would keep them, didn't He? Keep. Natsar, Shemar, and Tereo. Okay. For the most important, here, let me go back. The report says, the findings support the notion that for contemporaries, who's that? That's us. The most important aspects of the scriptural text were its content and meaning, not its precise wording. Now you see, a lot of people are going to fall for that. Or orthography, that means spelling. That's not important. Now these are scholars at the Jewish University in Israel putting out this kind of stuff, and you know young people are going to believe it. So I'm telling you, wisdom and understanding is important. In the sins of the flesh, it's important to put all the dots together. Okay, the conventional spelling system of any language, that's orthography. DNA extracted from animal skins is how they arrived at all that. I mean, it's just absurd. Okay, Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. What did I say last week you could understand the law as? Teaching. The teachings are the prophets and their recordings. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, and I've shown you that many times, shall in no wise pass from the law, the teachings, till all be fulfilled. So when you read something like you just read from the scholars of the Dead Sea Scrolls, what are you going to think? Is it God's wisdom you're going to believe, or are you going to believe the wisdom of the world and those scholars? Okay, let's move on. Man's wisdom or Holy Ghost wisdom? Here it is, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, this is Paul speaking, apostle, he's an apostle. Which things, which scripture, is what things often means in the scripture. Things means scripture. Which scripture also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Oh, content is what's important, not precise words. Okay. Which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things, spiritual scripture with spiritual scripture. That's why the Bible is so connected when it's translated properly, word for word. Okay, the great passage on, by the way, this same passage, you may want to write it down. The great passage on revelation, illumination, and inspiration is that passage right there, 1 Corinthians 2:10-13. I've taken the church there before in the past, but you may want to read that again. This is where Paul says he gets the word from the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing the prophets did. That's the same thing the other apostles did. They got them from the Holy Spirit and they wrote them down. Inspiration is a process. It is not a product. What do I mean by that? Inspiration is something none of us have ever experienced. We experience inspiration of the world, you know, like, oh, that's awesome. So we're inspired. You know, a beautiful sunset. Yesterday was such a beautiful day. It was the 39th celebration of my 40th birthday. So I just want you to know that. Pat and I drove over the mountains, didn't go in anywhere, just got out of the house for a while, and then drove back over the mountains again. It was beautiful. But I tell you this, the roads were packed, the restaurants were packed. So if you think COVID's going to settle down in this area, More and more cases in White County. Habersham's on fire. Union County's starting to pick up. And, of course, you know the counties to the south, Atlanta, are just exploding. So, by the way, the hypocrisy, isn't it something that you can't have a church service in a lot of places, but you can riot?
Exactly.
That's hypocrisy. That's double-mindedness, according to the Scripture. And that's where we are today. Man's wisdom, the wisdom of the world, man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. That's what you want to know to do well in the world. And from Psalm 119, 2 to 3 weeks ago, we gave an understanding of, at least I hope, or we hope, from Psalm 119, the words iniquity. And remember, several times in the church, I've taken you to the passages in Matthew and also in Isaiah where it identifies iniquity with my own way. And the Scripture talks about your own way a lot. And some of you mentioned that last week, and I was in a hurry and I went on and didn't pay any attention to you because I had taught that. And I apologize because I didn't recognize you, but I know you said it. Anomia without law. Okay, lawlessness. It's my own way instead of the way of Scripture. All right, law, Torah from a verb to teach, and I think I showed you that slide here. Torah, which is a noun that comes from a verb meaning to teach. Therefore, in many places where one sees law, substitute to teach or teaching. And again, repeating these things helps you remember as you read these things. Remember faithfulness, another polysemic word. Faithfulness of Christ is no matter whether you have faith or not, He is faithful to us. But also, faithfulness in the Scripture refers to that deposit of Scripture. Faithfulness is the Word of God in many places. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish, be fixed in the very heavens. Wherever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, Thy faithfulness is settled in heaven, but it also can mean the Lord Jesus Christ is forever settled on His throne next to the seat of God at the right hand of God, as the Scripture says. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. We are to make known His deposit of His words, not some understanding, but precisely His words. Okay? Yeah? We are to connect the words and make sense of it, and therefore have wisdom as a result. But we're not to add or take away our words from that deposit. There's the secret to life in those words. Okay, let's move on. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. What understanding? Connecting the dots of Scripture. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Look at the world today. They are so void of understanding, it is incredible. Wisdom. Here it is. 234 times, I said 250 about that, from 1828 Webster, the right use or exercise of knowledge, the right use of knowledge, discerning or judging what is just, not evil, from several Hebrew words. All right, you're back at Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 2, the word for wisdom there is skill in living. The word for wisdom in verse 3 is a different word. Whoa, did you know that? It means moral behavior. So you put it all together. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge towards skill in living and moral behavior. Now that's a big mouthful, but if you get that, you're well on your way to having a very successful life. The Scripture says that. How many of you read Proverbs? A lot. If you don't, you should. It's probably one of the more important books in the Bible. Not only to teach your children, grandchildren, most of us here have grandchildren now, but matter of fact, when my grandkids are over, I do all I can to say some of these things that we find in Proverbs, okay? And it's important that you do that for that reason alone, see? Right here, skill in living and moral behavior. Discernment equals prudence. A little bit of difference, but let's talk about discernment, because you find discern in the Scripture all the time, too. It occurs frequently. Look at this. I think I put it here. Well, maybe I didn't. But it occurs often in Proverbs and in the Scripture. Discerning. Are you a discerning person? What does that mean? Wisdom is knowing the right facts and connecting the dots. Therefore, understanding. But discernment is making the right decisions. Okay? A lot of people don't know how to make the right decisions. They're listening to the world. Oh, only the content's important, not the spelling of the words in the Bible. That's absolutely opposite to what the Scripture says. So it's critical that you understand these things so that you can discern. Make the right decisions about a statement like you just read. What about borrowing a lot of money to buy a car or a house? You better have some discernment there. Do you know what the Scripture says? The borrower is servant to the lender. Owe no man nothing but love. You see? You put those together in discernment. Oh, you know, maybe I better not go out and borrow a whole bunch of money. Okay? That's business decisions that are critical for your family, for our society, for America. America's $26 trillion in debt. Absolutely contrary to what Scripture says. Absolutely contrary. We're sinking in debt. And there's going to be a calamity coming very shortly if you're not aware of that. And what they're doing, I'll just tell you, they're going to bring in just internet money. I forget, what do you call that? I forget. But it's like bitcoins. You've heard of bitcoins. You won't have paper anymore at all. And what's that getting? God is allowing all this. Matter of fact, it's already been presented in the House of Representatives, if you didn't know that. They're going to do away with dollars. No more printing of money. Get a little chip in the back of the hand, as Revelation says, here in the forehead. Interesting, isn't it? God is setting up something. What is He setting up? He had to do this. He's allowing this for what reason? He's preparing for the rapture. You better be wise, using knowledge rightly and discerning and understanding according to the Scripture. Okay. So, what does it say? Maybe it will help someone deal with sins of the flesh. That's when it dawned on me where the Lord had been taking us through all of this. And when we get back to that in Galatians, we are going to finish Galatians, trust me. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, understanding all of this, why this review from social distancing to debauchery, sins of the flesh? Let's see, I think I've got it. No, not right there. Okay. Well, I'm going to head on down there because we're going to run out of time. There. Social distancing becomes social drinking. This is a picture from England. Police are forced to shut down part of London as hundreds flock to illegal raves. That's drinking and debauchery and other things that take place there. After a weekend of partying in pubs, bars, and parks across the UK, no social distancing there, no nothing, just... And why are we seeing a surge in COVID-19, a very dangerous bug? Anyway... So why this review from social distancing to debauchery? That's why I went to that picture. Because I've only got about 2 minutes. Maybe it will help someone deal with sins of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Critical verse. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. With the rapture right around the corner, you better be living that way. I'm telling you, you better be separate. What does holy mean? Hagios? Separate. Be ye holy because I am holy. Be ye separate. Okay? Let's go to the next thing here. 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That scene from England. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. Oh, I'm just going to go out and have a little fun. You know, down here at this place with a bunch of guys or a bunch of ladies and do a little drinking and a little debauchery, you know. Okay. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will of God? If somebody asks you that, I want you to be... If your grandkid asks you, you know, when they get up a little older, they'll say, well, what is the will of God for my life? Two things. Dr. Strauss. At Word of Life taught Pat and I this years ago. Years ago, we were at Lake Stroon, around the lake there at Word of Life. And Dr. Strauss said two things. One, he wants you to know his son. And he wants you to know the Bible. That's the will of God. Period. Okay? Now, some words to know from Scripture. I'm out of time, so I'm just going to show you where I'm headed. See these words? Prudence, justice, judgment. And again, you know, you need to know the meaning of proverb, wisdom, knowledge, instruction. I kind of went through those fast. But you can go back and watch this on live streaming if you want to copy these definitions down. And then you'll have them. And then the last three here, law and iniquity, which I've covered over and over again. The recognition of error. I showed you this slide some time ago. The pastor's not back there yet, so I'm going to keep going. The great tragedy in modern Christianity is not necessarily error in the church, but rather that so few people actually recognize error. Because they don't know the Bible. They never read Proverbs, particularly. But all the rest of the Bible, too. And they don't define the words. They just read the word. Hearing, and again, I was going to hand out a piece of paper and have you define these words. Hearing is not just the sound. Hearing is an intellectual understanding connecting the dots of what the teacher is saying, of what the Bible is saying. That's hearing, and that's what God means by it. He says over and over, are you hearing? Do you hear? And do. And he says this too. He says, you are to keep and do my commandments. Which, remember what I told you, if you take commandments, precepts, instruction, all those together, it's my teachings. That's what he's trying to say to you. All right, let's see. Secular philosophy and cultural sentiments have numbed down the spiritual senses of the saints to such a degree that we have settled for substitutes. We have, haven't we? We may not dance around the golden calf, but we've come to accept its presence in our midst. Boy, there's golden calves everywhere out there, aren't there? Okay, I'm going to quit. Pastor's back there. He winked at me. You know, I think we better close it up. Thank you for being here this morning. Pray again for those that are out and that are sick. And we're going to continue with this. I forget, the recognition of error. We talk a little more about that next week. And then I want to get back to deceit and go through that carefully in Timothy, okay, where we were before. So thank you for being here. Brother Green, well, you prayed a while ago. David, wake up. Pray for me.